This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Hey, buddy! Hey, buddy! We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get
BB!
We
get
BB! NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. We love our chance to talk to Mike Florio. Hey, Michael.
Morning, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
We are living the dream here in Chicago because guess what? Kareem Hunt's on the way and Cody Parkey's gone. That's the takeaways from the news conference yesterday.
Was that a trial balloon to see how loudly the local media and the fans would react to the possibility of Kareem Hunt joining the team? And if there isn't an overwhelming negative reaction, then that's essentially the green light to sign Kareem Hunt at the appropriate time. That's how I interpreted it.
It sure felt that way, Mike. I think there were six questions asked regarding Kareem Hunt, and I think that any one of those, you know, was there at the press conference, they could have shut it down. And in fact, you know, they opened up the door a little bit wider, and I think Matt Nagy talking about, you know, his history with Kareem Hunt and volunteering that he called him last week to see how he was doing.
Yeah, and look, no one's going to touch Kareem Hunt until we know what the NFL is going to do with him. And when you consider there are multiple incidents, when you consider that video came out that embarrassed the NFL, the league can do whatever it wants on the personal conduct policy. They could do 6 games, 8 games, 10 games, a full season. And I think until we know exactly how much time he will miss in 2019, it's pointless to try to figure out who's going to try to sign him. But he is a free agent. He can currently be signed by anyone. He would go right back onto the commissioner's exempt list. For now, the NFL needs to figure out what they're going to do with him. And if I represented Kareem Hunt's interests, my job would be get an answer ASAP so we can figure out how long he's going to be out, and then we can commence the process of finding a next destination.
Any idea how long that would be, Mike? I mean, there are different incidents, but you know, Ray Rice technically had a 2-game suspension, although that was the end of him.
Well, that was before the video came out. The video changes everything. And I think the video combined with the fact that Hunt lied to the Chiefs preliminarily, you know, it's put the NFL in an awkward spot. And I could see the NFL going, I'll say over 8. I'll put the over under it. I'll say 8.5. I always like the over under to be, you know, a 0.5 so you can't hit the number. So I'll say it's over 8.5. Over under is 8.5 for Kareem Hunt. And it wouldn't surprise me if it's over that.
The other future being debated yesterday was Cody Parkey's, and it doesn't sound like he'll be a Bear for long, given the way that Nagy and Ryan Pace answered the question. Do you think he kicks again in the NFL, Mike?
Well, there are so many guys out there who can do it, and the question is, have you become ruined to a certain extent by this affinity to clank balls off of the uprights? I don't know, but it's one of the few positions where the supply of able players far outweighs the demand. And once you develop that stigma, once you have that narrative, almost like what happened to Blair Walsh a couple of years ago in Minnesota, I think that you're destined to be replaced in the league by someone who doesn't have that baggage attached to his name. So I agree with you. Chicago, it's not happening. The question is, does it happen somewhere else? Does he get a chance to win a job in training camp? Is he a guy who gets called at some point during the season? I think that he's getting closer and closer to the end of the line.
It was very curious to listen to what Ryan Pace had to say about injuries. And the Bears were a very healthy team. And they have one player, Anthony Miller, that's going to need a procedure on his shoulder in the off season. But other than that, they're pretty clean, even though Khalil Mack is pulled out of the Pro Bowl game. And it was interesting. There were a bunch of different questions about it. But Ryan Pace, when answering it, talked about luck with injuries as much as anything else. He rattled off the names of everybody that's been responsible for keeping them healthy, but he did mention luck. Is that the conclusion of injuries? Is that what everyone in the league believes, that you just, some years you get lucky and other years you're unlucky?
There's a certain amount of luck that goes into it, but also I think that for teams that have clusters of injuries, you have to ask yourself, is there something we're doing wrong from a strength and conditioning and training standpoint? One skill that Rodney Harrison has developed while watching up to 10 games at once is the ability to spot in real time the potentially serious knee injury. And he will yell out, "Oh," and he'll slam his hand into my chest, thereby injuring me. And he'll say, "Watch this, watch this." And we'll watch it, and it'll be this kind of like Gumby twist and turn when the guy goes down.
Right.
And he, 9 times out of 10, or more frequently, he gets up and walks away. And there is something to be said for having your body constituted in a certain way, having the right flexibility, the right training, the right everything, so you can get your body twisted into a pretzel and not get injured. And I think that the teams that can get their guys to that point, that pick the right body types, the right body composition, do the right things to get their guys ready, luck is less of a factor. And you have guys who just don't get injured in the same situation that other players would emerge from with, you know, a 6-week injury.
Mike, what's going on in Denver? Is this Vic Fangio's first crisis with Gary Kubiak leaving, possibly going to the Vikings and hiring Mike Munchak as the offensive line coach? I thought Vic knew who was going to run his offense.
Well, and my understanding as to what happened in Denver is that Mike Munchak was the slight favorite to be the head coach, but Vic Fangio was so anxious, some would say desperate, to become a head coach for the first time in his career, he's willing to let John Elway do whatever he wants by way of staffing the coaching staff. And I don't know what happened along the path of Gary Kubiak becoming the offensive coordinator and then not becoming the offensive coordinator. But when you see that in Minnesota he's going to be assistant head coach and offensive advisor or something like that, look, my concern when I heard Gary Kubiak as an offensive coordinator was this. If the guy can't coach a team for health reasons, how can he grind away as an offensive coordinator? Because it's the same amount of commitment, right? It's slightly less pressure because you're not in the middle of the storm, but you're right on the edge of the eye of the storm, and you're in some weeks working even harder than the head coach. So I never understood how he could be not be a head coach, but could be a coordinator. And I think the role he's taking in Minnesota is going to be less than that. He parlayed it into a job for his son, Clint, as quarterback's coach. And I don't think it really affects Fangio. I think getting Mike Munchak far outweighs losing Gary Kubiak. I think that was a huge coup for the Broncos. And I want to be sure, if I'm Vic Fangio, that everybody knows that I'm the head coach, not Munchak. And if I'm the offensive coordinator in Denver, I want to make sure that everybody knows I'm running the offense, not Mike Munchak, because since he was one of the two finalists for the job, he's going to walk into that spot with more juice than an offensive line coach ordinarily would have. I think Munchak knows how to handle it, but I'm intrigued by what the Broncos have done. This has been such a weird hiring cycle where, you know, everybody who got hired, the moment he got the offer, there was no other team that wanted him other than Cliff Kingsbury. The Jets were interested in him when the Cardinals offered him the job. The other seven, assuming that Zach Taylor gets Cincinnati and Brian Flores gets Miami, there was no tug of war. There was no contest. There was one team that wanted him, and I don't understand why it all had to happen so damn quickly. I mean, it was just boom, 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 and it's done last week, and I think some of these teams in hindsight are going to regret moving as quickly as they did.
The Bears moved quickly to replace Vic Fangio. They brought in Chuck Pagano. They did an internal interview with Ed Donatell and then went ahead the next day and hired Chuck Pagano. Good hire, good fit. Any ideas on it, Mike?
Well, look, Chuck Pagano did well enough as defensive coordinator in Baltimore to become head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, right? So he has shown he can do the coordinator job at a high level. Now, you need the talent, and the Bears have the talent. And I think he'll be fine. I'm surprised he's coming back in this capacity. He interviewed for some head coaching jobs. I think he realizes that he's not going to be a head coach again if he doesn't go back and establish himself all over again as a coordinator. But I remember when he was with Indianapolis, he said at one point, this is his last job, this is it. And it's one thing to say it while you have a job. It's another thing to live it when you don't have a job. And after being out of it for a full year, I'm sure he's itching to get back in. And I think that they could have done a lot worse, because I remember Pagano being very good as the defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens before he became the Colts head coach.
Mike, Emmanuel Sanders ripped Antonio Brown on NFL Network. It was really classic stuff. It was really candid, and I think he said it with a lot. See, he had some credibility because of being a former teammate to Antonio Brown. What does his future hold? You hear 49ers. You heard Jerry Rice almost campaigning for that in San Francisco. What do you expect?
Well, when Art Rooney II, the owner of the team, came out last week and made it clear that it's unlikely that Antonio Brown will return to the Steelers and it's going to take a lot to get them to the point where he could come back into the locker room, that to me was the indication the Steelers are done with him. And they're trying to set up an auction, I believe, for his services. I mean, if you only have one team interested in a guy that you'd like to trade, your ultimate leverage is, screw it, I'll just keep him. And I think the Steelers realize they don't need to play that card, because if they can get multiple teams to the table, they will bid each other up to a level where the Steelers just take the best offer, or maybe take a little bit less if they can direct him out of the division or out of the conference or wherever. But they can control this because there will be multiple teams that want Antonio Brown. And look, the contract is very attractive. 3 years, under $39 million, unless Brown also wants another new contract. He's already had two as a veteran. But I think he's going to be out of Pittsburgh. And I think the real issue here, the heart of the matter, and Emmanuel Sanders addressed this as well, it's Ben Roethlisberger. Even though Roethlisberger has said all the right things about Brown, I continue to hear that the problem is between Roethlisberger and Brown. And if they're going to try to have a sit down and work everything out, Roethlisberger's got to be part of it, because he's got to be on board with Brown, and Brown's going to be on board with Roethlisberger. And the one thing that we've glossed over through this entire discussion as we focus on what the Steelers want, we got to factor in what Brown wants. And I get the impression, when you look at the things he said, when you look at some of his cryptic tweets, he removed the Steelers from his Twitter bio. That doesn't happen accidentally. I think he wants out of Pittsburgh.
Mike, when we talk about the Super Bowl champion this year, it'll be someone that was having a bye week that either is a one or two seed. We know that it's been five consecutive years where you've had a top seed win the Super Bowl, and it's going to go for six this year. Does the NFL need to address that? I mean, the old days, we always thought, well, you know, maybe it's an advantage playing in the wild card weekend, but now it seems like a huge disadvantage. Will the competition committee consider expanding, or I don't know, forcing another game just in order to keep people from having a week off, because it seems to be helping?
One of the things on my to-do list that I may or may not get to is a study of the success rate of the six seed, the three seed, the four seed, the five seed in the divisional round. Because for a while there, it was a 50-50 proposition that the one seed would advance beyond the divisional round, because that week off, they get a little too rested. They rest a little too much down the stretch. You catch them flat-footed early. Kind of what happened in the Eagles-Saints game. They caught them flat-footed early. They're up 14-0. And I think that game was right on the precipice of going very badly for the Saints. That scoop and score they tried to do, the Eagles, and they ended up not recovering the ball. Then the interception thrown by Nick Foles. Then the 4th-and-1 fake punt by the Saints. Then the 4th-and-2 touchdown. That whole sequence helped turn it around. If it would have gone 17 or 21 nothing, it may have been over for the Saints. But I don't know that the NFL does anything about it. I mean, that's an interesting justification for expanding the playoff field to 14 teams. But if it's 14, that just means your two seed has to play in the wild card round. If you'd have to go all the way to 16, you'd have to put half of the teams in the playoffs in order to make the one seed play in the wild card round.
Or you could, you know, go the other way and take a couple teams out of the playoffs. I'm sure the coaches love
that.
Oh,
that ain't going to happen. Yeah, that's not happening. You look at the ratings generated by those playoff games.
Right.
They are not taking teams out. If anything, they'll put teams in. And you know, the other thing you could do is you put teams in and you expand the league. But I was told recently that the league is not going to be expanding anytime in the coming decades. They're very happy with the current structure, composition, and layout of the 32 teams.
Mike, thanks a ton.
Thanks,
Great
Mike.
Talking to you.
Good stuff.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and of course, NBC Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.